Dan Moldea is with us, the Intrepid investigative reporter, 3 months from today. November 3rd will be the presidential election, but the president of the United States would like to push it back to February, February 3rd, which would be Morgan Fairchild's birthday, but I don't think that's going to happen, Dan Moldea. What do you think about the presidential election going on as scheduled?
Hi, Jim. How are you? Hope you're safe and well down there. I think it's diversion. He knows he can't do this. He knows it won't be done. I think he's just conjuring up ways to dismiss the election if, in fact, he loses. I think that the Democrats are being delusional if they think he's going to lose this election automatically. I don't think we have a very good candidate right now. He would have been 20 years ago. But right now, I mean, Joe has lost a couple of steps. And even though Trump has his own problems, his mishandling of the pandemic requires that he get people's attention onto other things. And I think one of those things is, oh, I think I won't have an election. And so everyone reacts to that, and their Sunday news shows are filled with it. In the meantime, they're not talking as much about the pandemic and his incompetence on his handling of this, which is killing so many people.
Yeah, the death number should reach 160,000 in the U.S. today. One person a minute is dying in this country right now of COVID-19. And we still have this discussion about masks and whether or not we should be wearing them. And the president has been continuing to pump this hydroxychloroquine as a miracle drug. Dan, is the president misleading people, or is he onto something that perhaps others are not?
Well, this is a guy who has, you know, he's proven himself over the past 3.5 years to be completely and totally corrupt and completely and totally dishonest. The Washington Post tracks these things with regard to statements that he makes, and they're now saying that the number of flat-out false statements or flat-out lies that he's told since he took office in January of 2017 is now right around 20,000. 20,000. And so we're not dealing with an honest man. Frankly, I would like to see some reporter get up and say, sir, over the past 15 minutes, you've told 6 flat-out lies, and you lie all the time. How can the American public believe you about anything?
All right, we're going to go to a break for the news, and we'll return with Dan Moldea. You can hear he's fired up. The president, by the way, says in 1962 that he was the best baseball player in the great city of New York, a year in which Mickey Mantle was doing pretty well for the Yankees, as was Whitey Ford and Elston Howard and Roger Maris. Turns out that at the New York Military Academy in the year of 1962, Donald Trump batted a robust 138. We'll be back after this pause and go to the phone lines, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. The fabulous investigative reporter, Dan Moldea, who changed the political futures of David Vitter and Bob Livingston, Newt Gingrich with his reporting. He is with us, and he believes he knows where Jimmy Hoffa was buried. We'll talk with him about that. His first book, I think, was his book about Jimmy Hoffa, The Hoffa Wars, 1978, when Dan was a young lad of 28. He's now 70 years old and still doing his thing in the great city of Washington, D.C. Your number, 877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines in short order, but how are things right now in the nation's capital? Is it picking up, or is it still relatively tepid as far as activity on the streets of the great city where you live?
Oh, man, we're living the dream, Jim. We're living the dream here. No, I'm kidding. It's scary. It's scary. I mean, I'm getting ready to go out to have lunch today for the first time since March 16th and at a restaurant. Like, we're going to sit outside, I guess. But we miss that. I mean, we have all these wonderful restaurants here in Washington and everything else, and they're all mostly, for the most part, they're doing carry out. There's some indoor, in-restaurant, in-house service going on, but not really that much. And there is some talk that if people don't start wearing their masks and social distancing, that they're going to have to shut down the city again, and which would be tragic on many different levels. I mean, children do have to go to school, and people do have to go to work, and I don't know exactly how we get out of this mess until there's a vaccination.
James in Metairie. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldea. Hi, James.
Well, good morning, Jim and Dan. I'd like to get Dan's opinion on the likelihood of that absolutely horror show that might be the election. In other words, there's talk right now that some Republican secretaries of state may not validate the election results of their states. Try to run out the clock from November the 3rd until December the 10th when the electors are supposed to congregate in Washington. That would fail. And then according to the Constitution, that scenario, the election would go to the House of Representatives, where there are more delegations with Republican majorities. Each state gets one vote. Trump gets reelected. How likely is that nightmare scenario?
I can't believe that in the United States of America that could happen. I mean, I just can't believe that even Republicans who are total Trump stooges and knuckle draggers for this particular president, I just can't imagine those people being that treacherous that they would engage in such activity to keep this corrupt and dishonest man in office. I find that so abhorrent to everything that I believe and have learned.
But what if it gets tied up in the courts?
Oh, I think there's going to be a lot of court action and everything else. I'm hoping for a complete repudiation of Trump, or he's defeated so badly and so soundly that'll be very difficult for him to claim fraud or anything like that in the election. I mean, let's face it, he was doing the same thing in 2016. He was intent on calling the election a fraud and rigged and everything else. But as long as he wins, it's fine. It's cool.
All right. By the way, Democrats have won the vote, the actual vote, in 6 of the last 7 presidential elections, 92 and 96 with Clinton, 2000 with Gore, 2008 and 12 with Obama, and 2016 with Clinton. So that's 6 of 7, and yet the results show only 4 of 7 elections being victorious. And this time around, it's almost a given that Joe Biden wins the overall vote. But he could lose in the Electoral College like Hillary Clinton did and like Albert Gore did, despite winning the vote, which would mean Democrats, when all is said and done, could have won 7 of the last 8 elections according to the vote and only be 4-4 in the actual tabulation in the Electoral College. And this is the only election in America in which a candidate can get more votes than the other person and lose. 877-217-5757. Mike in Villa Del Rey, you're on with Dan Moldea. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm a little off subject, if you'd bear with me. There's 2 books that I have that I can't count the times I've reread. Confederacy of Dunces and Hoffa Wars. In the early 70s, when I was a pipefitter apprentice, we had to deal with the likes of Edward Grady Parton. I'm out.
Okay, all right. Mike
Parton was
Hoffa Wars.
He was one of my best sources. Ed Parton was head of the Baton Rouge local, Teamsters local there. He was, he had some difficulties with the law and things like that, but he was very, very close to Jimmy Hoffa. He was pretty falsely portrayed in The Irishman. But it was Ed Parton who was the informant inside Hoffa's camp for the Department of Justice, and it was Ed Parton's testimony who put Jimmy Hoffa in jail, sentenced to 8 years for jury tampering in Chattanooga. To me, Ed Parton was a hero. I guess that's going to be controversial to many people in Baton Rouge, but to those of us up north who know what he did as far as putting Jimmy Hoffa, a completely corrupt and dishonest guy, not unlike our current president, that he was put in jail as a result of the testimony of Ed Parton.
And before we part company with Dan, we'll get to where he believes. We've gone through this once before, but he believes that he has found the spot where Jimmy Hoffa's remains are located. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, David. Good morning to you. Okay, let's see if we can get David. I think we're having some difficulty with his phone line. But this mail balloting thing that the president has pointed to as a source of potential corruption, today in the New York Times it says, New York City is still deciding June races nearly 6 weeks after the election. with some closely watched congressional races remaining undecided. Major delays in counting, a deluge of 400,000 mail-in ballots and other problems are being cited as examples of the challenges facing the nation as it looks toward November 3. Are we going to have potentially utter chaos, Dan?
I think we should just let Amazon take care of the election this year, just because we will get everything will be delivered in 2 days, and we will get everything back promptly, and we will have a legitimate election. Who knows? We are so far beyond the looking glass on everything that's happened since Donald Trump has become president. I mean, it's like watching the old Milton Berle show. You just can't believe what you're seeing. And it's, you know, it's the Donald Trump show. And all of us are, you know, we're captive watchers in this incredible show that's been going on for the past 3.5 years. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I do know this. If God bless Joe Biden, but if he was in a coma dribbling into a cup right now, he's got my vote still. I'm going to be very curious to see who he picks as vice president. But Donald Trump has got to go. This country can't take 4 more years of Donald Trump as president. I want him to live a long life so that he can fully suffer the consequences of his bad behavior while he was president. And there will be consequences. There are tremendous consequences to all the damage he's done to this country.
Let's see if we can get David in Atlanta back. David, you're on with Dan Moldea. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks again, Jim, for having the most wonderful guest you could ever have on a talk station. Good morning, Mr.
Moldea. I love this guy. He's always very kind to me. Thank you, David.
Two questions, sir. What are Trump's odds of being – now, I know he could try to pardon himself, but he can't pardon himself on New York state charges. What are the odds of the New York district attorney in Manhattan indicting Trump when he leaves office? And when 2 weeks ago on Fox News Sunday, Trump told Chris Wallace he had a health care plan he was going to sign very shortly, within 2 weeks. Where is this health care plan? It exists in Trump's imagination. The man is delusional, and he has control of the nuclear weapon button. This is frightening.
Frightening is a very good word to use, yeah. What can you say? He's we're in a – like, once again, we are beyond the looking glass, and it is terrifying what's going on, and I find us in a situation where it's – every day is a new head slap, and So we'll see what happens. Dave, it's always great talking to you, hearing from you.
Well, Dan, you live in a city. I don't think Trump got 10% of the votes in Washington, D.C.
I don't think he got 5%.
That's right. I think he got 10% in Manhattan, his place of business, and he got 5% in Washington, D.C.
I think that's right, yeah.
But in Louisiana, he received 58% of the votes, more votes than any candidate in the history of our state, and that's true in most of the SEC states. All 11 of them went for Donald John Trump in 2016. And now these polls show him in trouble in places like Georgia and Florida, places where he would be expected to win and has to win if he is to hold on. What can he do in 3 months to change this course and try to get back on track?
I don't believe the polls. I really don't. I don't think he's that far behind. I think that, you know, when I was growing up, Jim, when you and I were growing up, I'm a little older than you, but when we were growing up, we would look at people who were very powerful and people who had money and had prestige and fame, and we admired people like that when they used their power and their money and their prestige to help those who couldn't help themselves. We admired people like that. In this case, we've got a president who has a flock of sheep supporting him, who believe that there is nobility in Donald Trump's ability and willingness to go to war against the poorest and most powerless among us. That is a war that he has been waging since he became in office, favoring the rich, coming down on the poor. And there are enough supporters of that in the United States to, I think, who clearly elected him as president, and I think are willing to reelect him as president. I have friends who are Trump supporters, and I remain friends with them, but I no longer question their political judgment. I question their basic sense of right and wrong. They have seen this guy.
All right, 877-217-5757, another segment with Dan Moldea. We'll get his idea on the vice presidential choice, and more on Jimmy Hoffa. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. We're continuing our discussion with Dan Moldea, best-selling author and unparalleled investigative reporter, and he is with us for the remainder of our show. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. David in Shenandoah. David, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Moldea, how do you look at the situation where Mr. Trump is trying to pull 10,000 troops out of Germany? Do you see it as a gift to Putin?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch him.
He talked about the president's decision to pull troops from Germany. Apparently this is some vendetta he has with Angela Merkel, or it could be that he's taking marching orders from Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin. What do you think?
The whole Russia, Putin-Trump thing is just, to me, the photograph that defines the Trump presidency is the photograph of the two Russians, the two top officials, in the Oval Office, yucking it up with Trump. To me, that is the embodiment of the entire Trump presidency, where Trump appears to be a stooge to Vladimir Putin while claiming that no president has ever been as tough on Russia as he has been. I mean, I was wrong about Mueller. I thought the Mueller report was going to do it. I thought it was going to handle this situation, but I was wrong. I'm sure I wasn't the only one, but it was unbelievable how quickly William Barr, who became Attorney General, just dismissed the Mueller report just out of hand, lied about its importance, lied about what it said, and how quickly it was dropped like a hot potato. And then, sadly, Robert Mueller goes to the House Judiciary Committee and testifies and did a very poor job of defending his work. And so after all that work, all that time, and I think the work was fine. I thought it was a devastating report. You know, Donald Trump is still president, but it's still up in the air about the relationship between Trump and Putin, and which I continue to believe is nefarious.
Bill in Lafayette. Bill, you're on the air with Dan Moldea. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, I'm just catching a little bit. I might be on the opposite side of the spectrum. I'm one of the knuckle draggers your guest is referring to. Well, it's not respectful. I've been sitting here listening to this, and you've just been casting dispersion after dispersion without a single fact to back it up. You claim that Trump is crapped all over the poor and is only helping the rich. And what I've seen in the last 3.5 years is the economy has boomed. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been. They call him a racist.
Not anymore, my friend.
And by the way, the economy wasn't great before COVID, but keep going. It took a global pandemic to bump the economy, but it still hasn't even tanked. And
All right. What about the economy? He says it has not tanked. Well, we just had the worst report as far as contraction of the economy since the Great Depression. I don't know what tanking looks like, but it would seem that we're rather close to being on the precipice.
Regard to the gentleman about the knuckle dragger thing,
Bill, stay on, please. Go ahead, Dan.
Hillary Clinton, she got into a lot of trouble for calling these people deplorables. I call them knuckle draggers. She called them deplorables. And Hillary Clinton saw how much trouble she got in, and she backed off. To me, she should have doubled down on it, because those people who support Trump and his policies with regard to health care, which has not been helpful to the poor, I'm sorry, the way they've handled Obamacare, which was a very fine thing, and they have just completely destroyed it by nitpicking it and tearing it apart piece by piece. That is something that knuckle draggers, that deplorable support.
All right. Bill, are you still there, Bill? I want you to respond, if you will.
I would respond to your guest who said he would vote for Joe Biden if he was in a coma, into a cup, which he's not far from doing right now. The guy, when Trump got elected, They came out, and all these physicians, AMA physicians, came out trying to prove that Trump was demented. He's unfit for office, and the guy's done pretty darn good. I haven't seen State of the Union addresses more cogent and more rousing than the last three that Trump has given.
All right. Thank you, Bill. And please keep calling. It's good to hear from a person who is as passionate about the president as you are on this show. Subhash at the Country Club. Subhash, please be brief. You're on with Dan.
Good morning to you both, gentlemen. I am with Mr. Dan all the way. Only thing is, Trump is only a symptom, not the source of our problems. We should now know the flaws in our Constitution, in our Supreme Court, in our political and a divided country.
All right. What about constitutional flaws that are perhaps inherent that are playing into this?
Well said, gentlemen. That gentleman just was very well said. There's on so many different levels. That's why I'm saying this. If Trump were to be reelected, he would spend the next 4 years, rewarding his friends and punishing his enemies. I mean, he would be looking to be president for life as the gentleman he's having his bromance with, Vladimir Putin does. They're going to be coming down on the press. They're going to be throwing reporters in jail. I mean, I think that's Trump's ultimate fantasy, is just to have complete, total power.
All right. Leonard on airline. Leonard, you're on with Dan. Good morning. Hi, Leonard.
Yeah, how you doing, Jim? I completely agree with Dan. And a lot of people don't understand this. Trump was the one who let the pandemic come over here. We knew that the pandemic was in China at least two months before it came over here. He let it happen.
All right. Thank you, Leonard. Dan, we're short on time.
American leadership was not present. I think the gentleman's exactly right. America was not. If Barack Obama had been president, they would have handled that thing over in China. They would have been cooperating with China. They would have nipped this in the bud, and it certainly never would have come over here with the great force that it's having right now, where our entire society has been turned upside down as a result of his incompetence and his uncaring feeling towards the way this situation has developed.
We've got to do this quickly, but who's going to be the vice presidential choice for Joe Biden?
I'd like to see Susan Rice. I'm sure she's not going to get it, but I'd like to see Susan Rice get it. Karen Bass is, the head of the Black Caucus would be terrific. I think it has to be a black woman. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, Representative Clyburn saved Biden's bacon during the primaries. And it's absolutely necessary that because of all the racial dispute and the awareness, the new awareness of Black Lives Matter and everything else, I think it's important that we have a black woman as the vice president.
What about Kamala Harris?
I'm not a big fan of hers. I was unimpressed with her during the Kavanaugh hearings. I don't trust her. I didn't like her during the first debate where she attacked Biden the way she did. I like Tammy Duckworth. But again, she's not a black woman. I think there has to be a black woman as president. I love the mayor of Atlanta. I loved her. She was terrific.
Well, she's in the running. Should Joe Biden debate?
Trump will. Did you ever see the George Foreman, Joe Frazier fight?
I saw both of them, but the one in Manila,
remember
where
George Foreman knocked Joe Frazier
down
seven times in the first round?
Down goes Frazier. Second round.
Down goes Frazier. It would be, that's what would happen in a Trump-Biden debate, because Trump would stand there and just lie to Biden. He would be calling his name. He would have him so off-center and off-balance that I don't think Joe could handle it well.
All right. And where is what is left of Jimmy Hoffa?
Jimmy Hoffa is buried under, we've got this down to a 60 square foot area under a bridge called the Pulaski Skyway in Jersey City, New Jersey, at a place once called the Brother Moscato's Dump, official name PJP Landfill. The person who owned the dump initially told me that the body was buried there. His name was Brother Moscato, and his partner's son got a deathbed confession from his father, and he told me the exact location. I went to New Jersey. We went to the dump. He gave me a 45-minute tour of the area, which I filmed with not one but two cameras, And he took me to the exact spot and said, here is where my father buried Jimmy Hoffa. Stay tuned.
When are they going to dig him up?
Well, we're trying to get the FBI to take an interest in this. I know they're having their problems over at the Justice Department. And God knows that all the things we're talking about right now, the FBI's got its hands full. But the irony of this is this dump, the Moscato's dump, PJP landfill, was the first real theory that the FBI had back in 1975 as to the location of Hoffa's body. They believed that Hoffa was murdered in Detroit, stuffed into a 55-gallon drum, loaded onto a Gateway transportation truck, and shipped to New Jersey where he was buried at this dump. He was murdered by a guy named Sal Bergoglio. In Act 1, it was a guy named Vito Giacalone who picked up Hoffa, drove him into Act 2 where Sal killed him. And then a guy named Roland McMaster arranged for Hoffa to be transported via Gateway to New Jersey, where he was buried by Paul Coppola, whose son, Frank Coppola, gave me the exact location of the body. We're doing everything we can to try to make this happen. It's a very, very difficult place to get to, but I've been there.
I know. And you've been following this story since Jimmy Hoffa disappeared from the...
Since day one, 45 years I've been
Red Fox
this.
Restaurant.
The Red Fox Restaurant, yes, sir.
Dan Moldea, it is always a pleasure. I'll see you in Washington, and let's reconvene.
I look forward to it, Jim. Always a pleasure talking to you. Be safe, be well.
You too. And signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Back tomorrow, Adam Knapp and John Schroeder among the guests. Later in the week, John Barry and filmmaker John Waters. Stay tuned.